hook up her microphones, and I didn't give him a chance to say anything more. My jaw flexed. "Don't be disrespectful, you dick," he scoffed. "What? Like you weren't looking at her ass just now?" I didn't answer. "Nice rack, too." A noise gurgled from my throat. Jack turned with a knowing smirk plastered on his face. "Did you just growl at me?" "Shut the fuck up." "Admit it. You don't want me looking because you like her. You're already territorial about this chick." "This chick? Is it 1985 here in the studio? Do you refer to your employees like that?" "Stop deflecting. You like this woman, and you know it." Jack might be vice president of a big company now, but parts of him were eternally stuck in sixth grade. I knew if I didn't give him something, he'd never shut the hell up. So I tried to pacify him. "She's turned out to be a hard worker and a nice person, yes." "See, you don't think she's hot?" I rolled my eyes. "She's attractive, yes. But you don't want to bang her. Stella and I have a business relationship." "Oh, so it's the business relationship that's the problem? So if you weren't in business with her, you'd be trying to bang her?" "I'm done with this conversation." Jack shoved his hands into his pockets and shrugged. "Okay, so you don't mind if I bring Brent down to meet her then?" "Brent?" "Fenway. You remember him from college, right? Tall, good-looking, probably the only one who gave you a run for your money back in the day. He works here now. Looks the same, except more jacked. Still single." My friend thought he was being cute, as if I wouldn't give him a set of black eyes to match my fading ones. "Fuck off," I said. He grinned. "That's what I thought." A little while later, Jack looked at his watch. "I have a meeting. You hanging around for the taping?" "Yeah, Olivia couldn't be here, so I told her I'd stick it out." "They're probably going to be a few hours." I held up my phone. "I have plenty to do to keep me busy." He stood and clapped my shoulder. "I'm sure you do, but I'd bet my bank account you don't take your eyes off that stage." It was a good thing I hadn't taken that bet. Not that I would have ever admitted I'd spent the last 3 fucking hours watching Stella's every move on the stage. When Jack had told me they wanted Stella on air, a part of me wasn't sure that was a wise business move. Sure, she was gorgeous, and the camera would probably love her, but she had no experience. Though after sitting around the last few hours and watching her, I completely understood what the host had seen that made her want Stella to be part of the pitch. She was passionate and funny, and had an innocent quality that made you believe everything she said up there, as if she were too wholesome to lie. Hell, I wanted to buy the freaking perfume, and I owned part of the company. A little after 5 o'clock, they finally wrapped shooting. Stella talked to the host and crew for a while, then turned to look out into the audience. She cupped her hands over her brows, shielding her eyes from the overhead light. Finding me still sitting in the 4th row back, she smiled and headed to the stairs at the side of the stage. I stood and walked down the aisle to meet her.
"Oh my God," she said. "That was so much fun."
"You looked like you were having a good time."
"I hope I don't come off as a weirdo."
She held up her hands and wiggled her fingers.
"I felt like I'd been electrocuted or something. Not in a cook-your-organs way, but like a nonstop jolt of energy racing through my body."
I laughed. "You did great. Entertaining, yet sincere." I turned at the sound of the stage door behind us opening and closing. Jack was back, and the fucker wasn't alone. I was going to kick his scrawny ass. He walked over, sporting the biggest, gloating smile.
"Hudson, you remember Brent, right?"
I gritted my teeth and extended my hand.
"I do. How's it going, Brent?"
We were still shaking when the asshole's eyes locked on Stella. He couldn't let go of my hand fast enough.
"I don't think we've met. Brent Fenway."
Stella smiled.
"Fenway, like the park?"
"One and the same. Have you ever been there?"
"I haven't, actually."
"Maybe I can take you sometime."
Seriously, he'd been in the room less than 30 seconds and he was already hitting on her? How long until he pissed on her like she was a fire hydrant? Jack gave me a look and rocked back and forth on his heels. He seemed pretty damn proud of himself. That sounds like a fun date, don't you think, Hudson? I glared at him. I'm a Yankees fan. I saw Robin on my way back down. She wants to see us. Jack thumbed toward the door he'd just walked through. She's in her office. It's just down the hall. Okay. Couldn't say I was upset to say goodbye to Brent so soon. I nodded at him. Good seeing you. I extended a hand to Stella. After you. Jack shook his head. Actually, she only asked to see you and me, Hudson. Stella can hang back here. I'm sure Brent can keep her company. Brent flashed a smile I wanted to punch. Absolutely. The minute we were out in the hall, Jack poked the bear. Brent looks good, doesn't he? I glared in response. They make a cute couple, him and Stella. You've made your point. Now go tell him to get the fuck back to work. Jack smiled. Can't do that. He doesn't work for me. Luckily for my friend, Robin walked out of her office. There you are. I have some good news to share. I had to plaster on a happy face when all I wanted was to kill my buddy and use his limp body as a bat to knock out the pretty boy back in the studio. We're here, and you just killed it up on stage taping the segment for Signature Scent, Jack said. I think we're already floating in good news. Robin handed me a packet of papers. We usually test potential products with a focus group before we take them on, to see if they appeal to our known audience and to find out what they'll want to know most about the product. We didn't have time for that with Signature Scent since it was a last-minute ad, but we had a group here today for another project. I had Mike, the segment producer, sneak over with a few minutes of what we taped earlier in the day, and it tested through the roof. I think we need to increase our sales forecast. I looked down at the numbers. She wasn't kidding. How likely are you to buy the product? 94% said extremely likely. Have you found a similar product anywhere else? 0% said yes. How relatable was the guest host? 92% said she was relatable. And on, 3 pages of numbers that were truly remarkable. I flipped through, scanning them all. This is... I shook my head. It's incredible. You know what else it is? Jack said. We both looked to him. Cause for celebration. That evening, Stella and I drove to the restaurant together. Robin and Jack were meeting us there, and we were 10 minutes early and the first ones to arrive. Drink at the bar? I asked her. That sounds great. We told the hostess where we were going and found 2 stools next to each other. The bartender walked over and placed a napkin in front of each of us. What can I get for you? I looked to Stella.
I'll have a Merlot, please.
Would you like to see the wine menu to select one? She shook her head.
House wine is fine.
He looked to me. And for you? I'll take a Coors Light. Once he walked away, I raised a brow at Stella. No gin to sniff? She smiled.
Not tonight. I don't think it's a good idea to mix business with hard liquor.
You also don't think it's a good idea to mix business with dating. Yet, you're going to ask me out. She laughed.
Oh, am I?
I'd spent the entire day watching her from a distance. The makeup people had painted her with much more than she normally wore, including a bright red lipstick that still hadn't dulled after all these hours. I couldn't take my eyes off her mouth. I swallowed, staring at her lips. Some rules were made to be bent. She let out a nervous laugh.
Are you a rule bender, Hudson? I feel like you know so much about me, yet I don't know too much about you.
What would you like to know? The bartender brought over our drinks, and Stella lifted her wine to her lips.
I don't know. You're divorced? What happened there?
I frowned. This is supposed to be a celebration, not a funeral. She smiled.
That bad?
I gave her my grandmother's ring when I proposed. A few days later, I came home and she had a different ring on. She'd sold the ring and bought one she'd liked better. Stella's eyes widened.
Oh, my.
I sucked back my beer. Serves me right since I married her anyway.
Why did you?
That was a damn good question. People always asked me why we broke up, but never why I'd married Lexi to begin with. If you'd asked me that before the wedding, I would have said I was young and we had a lot in common. We both liked to travel, we ran in the same social circle. But the answer isn't the same now? I shook my head. Hindsight is a lot clearer. My mother had died the year before. I was working in the family business, taking on more and more responsibilities because my father had taken a step back from things after his first heart attack. It felt like what should come next. That sounds really ignorant saying it out loud today, but my family was falling apart, and I think I just wanted what I'd had, so I went about making my own. I'd been with Lexi for a few years, so I took the next steps. Basically, I was an idiot.
I don't think you were an idiot. I think it's kind of sweet that you were trying to hold on to your family life. I take it your parents had a strong marriage?
I nodded. They did. Still held hands. And whenever one of them noticed the time was 5:13 on a clock, they wished each other a happy anniversary. They were married on May 13th.
Ah, that's pretty romantic.
What about you? Parents still married?
They are, but they have an interesting marriage.
She hesitated.
My parents are polyamorous.
My brows jumped. Wow. So your father is married to multiple people? She shook her head.
No, that's polygamy. They just have an open relationship, always have.
How does that work?
I grew up in a two-story house in Westchester. We had a small two-bedroom apartment downstairs and three bedrooms upstairs. On the main floor, life was normal. My sister and I each had our own room, and my parents shared a bedroom. But we always had a lot of my parents' friends come to stay in the guest rooms downstairs. They never really hid their lifestyle from us, but it wasn't until I was about 8 or 9 that I realized how different their relationship was. Our bathroom was getting redone on the main floor, and I'd woken up in the middle of the night. I needed to go, so I went downstairs. As I went toward the bathroom, a woman walked out in her underwear. I'd met her before, but I hadn't expected to see anyone, so I screamed. My father came running out from the bedroom down the hall in his underwear. The next day, my parents sat my sister and me down and explained things.
That must have been difficult to grasp at that age. She nodded.
I definitely struggled with it for a while. None of my friends' parents were like that, and neither were the couples on TV, especially not 20 years ago. So I didn't understand why my parents had to be different. It made me wonder if that's how my life would be. I remember asking my mom one day if what they had was hereditary.
My eyes widened. You don't. You're not. Stella chuckled.
Definitely not. I've accepted my parents' marriage for what it is, but I knew early on that it wasn't a lifestyle I wanted. I'm a pretty jealous person when it comes to my relationships. I'm way too territorial to share.
I smiled, thinking about how I'd felt when Jack had brought Brent around. Hell, Stella and I weren't even dating, and I'd wanted to punch the guy. I get it. I remembered that she'd alluded to a bad relationship with her father the day she came to my office to pick up her cell. Do they still live in Westchester? She nodded.
Same house. As far as I know, they have the same upstairs marital bedroom and the downstairs for their extracurricular activities. But I haven't been there in over a year.
She sipped her wine.
We had a falling out, I guess you could say. If you don't mind, I don't really want to talk about it. Today was such a great day, and I'm not ready to come down from the high of it all.
Yeah, of course. She sipped her wine.
How about your family? Do you have siblings besides Olivia?
I shook my head. Just the one. Thank God. I couldn't afford another wedding.
I'm sure having a wedding at the library must have cost a small fortune. One of the women whose diaries I read a while ago got married there, too. I fell in love with the way she described it. At the time I was reading it, I worked nearby, and I used to go sit outside on the library steps for lunch every day and read a few pages. I always looked around and wondered if the man she'd married might be passing by, since they'd obviously lived local at one time.
You told me the diaries are your version of reality TV. but it sounds more like romantic fantasy than reality, if you ask me.
Actually, she said, that particular diary turned out to be more like a horror story. It was part of the reason I found out Aiden was cheating on me.
How so?
The diary had big gaps in time and spanned a few years. But after the over-the-moon wedding at the library, things apparently turned sour. She went from entries where she described the beautiful venue and her flowers to entries where she described how she was covering up an affair. Some of the things she was doing hit home because I'd noticed the same changes in Aiden, like he'd started to work late and then shower as soon as he came home. The woman described how much she hated to wash the smell of her lover off, and she said she actually resented her husband because she had to shower right away when she came home after one of her dalliances. That led me to start asking Aiden questions. At first, he made me think I was paranoid. He blamed the diaries I read for planting things in my head that didn't exist. But more and more, things made me suspect something was going on. I'm actually pretty ashamed of how crazy I became at the end.
What could you have done to be ashamed of? Sounds like your ex is the one who should be ashamed. Stella looked away for a moment.
How did we get to talking about me again? We're supposed to be talking about you.
I think the mention of my sister's wedding at the library took us down a path. I don't think I told you, but I was also married there.
Really? Your sister got married at the same place you did?
I nodded. Our parents were married there, too. Ever since she was little, Olivia had been saying both of our weddings were going to be there. I'm glad she didn't let my outcome take that away from her. We finished our drinks, but neither Jack nor Robin had shown up. I looked at my watch and realized they were 20 minutes late. Stella noticed.
We were supposed to meet them at 7, right?
I nodded and glanced over to the front entrance. No one was waiting. Let me double check. Maybe I got the time wrong. I took out my phone and clicked into the text message Jack had sent. We were in the right place at the right time, so I shot my buddy a text. Hudson, did you change the restaurant or something? Stella and I are the only ones at the Nomad. Stella's wine was empty. I motioned to her glass. You want another?
I shouldn't.
But do you want one? She laughed.
I'll pass. I want to keep a clear head during dinner with Robin.
A minute later, my phone chimed with a response from Jack. Jack, did I forget to mention that the celebration was canceled for tonight? Robin couldn't get a sitter. She's going to let me know what works for her next week. I typed back. Hudson. WTF. Yes, you did. Jack. Guess it must have slipped my mind. Go celebrate without us tonight, unless you're not up for it. I can always text Brent to come take Stella off your hands. I shook my head. Hudson. You're such a dick. You did this on purpose, didn't you? Jack. You're welcome, my friend. I tossed my phone on the bar.
Everything okay?
Stella asked. Apparently something came up and dinner's been rescheduled. My jackass of a friend forgot to let me know.
Oh, wow, okay.
My buddy's tactics might have been underhanded, but I couldn't say I was displeased with the result. We're on the same side now, right? Stella's brows furrowed.
What do you mean?
You didn't want to have another drink because we were having dinner with business associates. But you and I aren't business associates, we're co-owners, so we're on the same side. She smiled.
I guess I have less to worry about now, considering I've already made a fool out of myself in front of you multiple times.
What do you say we have that second drink while we order dinner? We should still celebrate. She bit her bottom lip. I reached out with my thumb, rubbing until she released it. Stop worrying. It's not a date. We're just business partners and friends having dinner. I won't maul you until you ask me out.
Chapter 16. You're not going to have another. Hudson held up a hand. I'm driving. I hiccuped. And I'm tipsy. Nice to meet you, driving. He chuckled. You're cute when you're drunk. I shook my head. I'm not drunk, I'm tipsy. And the difference is, tipsy, I'm still in control. So, drunk, you lose control? Hudson stopped our waitress, who happened to be walking by.
Could we get another wine when you get a chance? And really fill the glass, please.
I laughed. Tonight has definitely been more fun than my last date. Wait, I waved my hand around. This isn't a date.
Of course not.
He smirked and sipped his water.
Things not going so well with Ken?
Ben.
Whatever. Trouble in paradise?
I sighed. He's a really nice guy. There's just no chemistry, I guess.
Hudson's eyes dropped to my lips. No chemistry, huh?
The air in the room started to crackle so loudly, I was surprised everyone eating dinner wasn't looking around to find the noise. This was what was missing between Ben and me. Hudson only had to look at me in a certain way, and my body temperature rose. I swallowed. He brought me flowers on our first date and Godiva on our second. He's very thoughtful. I guess I'm hoping the connection might develop.
Hudson's eyes darkened. It won't.
How do you know?
Because you can't force chemistry to exist where it doesn't. The same way you can't stop it from existing where you don't want it. There are some things we're just powerless over.
I felt a little powerless at the moment. Like if Hudson were to slip his hand under the table and up my skirt, I wouldn't be able to bring myself to stop him. Luckily, the waitress brought my wine, which was practically filled to the brim. She winked at Hudson conspiratorially.
Would you like to see the dessert menu?
He nodded.
That would be great, thank you.
When she came back with the menus, she said she'd give us a few minutes. I thought the interruption might help Hudson and me change topics, but he set his glass down and obviously had other ideas.
So when are we dumping Len?
I smiled.
We? Are you going to let him down with me? I'll happily do it for you.
He held out his hand.
Give me your phone.
I chuckled. Thanks, but I think I can handle it on my own.
But you will be handling it. Meaning bye-bye, Benny boy.
Of course you're able to get his name right when we're talking about dumping him. I rolled my eyes. Besides, you and I look at relationships differently.
Hudson's eyes narrowed. How so?
You said yourself that you enjoy spending time with women, but you have different expectations of where things will end up.
I meant I break things off if I can't see a future, and the woman I'm seeing seems to be growing feelings. I'm not averse to a relationship, if that's what you're thinking.
Oh. He grinned.
With you and me, our feelings are mutual, so it's not a problem.
I chuckled. So I take it you're not seeing anyone right now?
Not at the moment, but I'm working on it.
His eyes sparkled. When was the last time you had a date?
I guess it was the weekend before my sister's wedding.
And how was that?
Well, we went to a Mexican restaurant. She asked me if I'd like to share an appetizer and told me to pick one. So I ordered chips and guacamole they made tableside. When I was done, my date turned to the waiter and said, Guatemala. He means chips and Guatemala.
I laughed. You're making that up? He shook his head.
I wish I was.
I take it you didn't go out with her again?
No. Though I met someone who spiked my interest the next weekend anyway. She's kind of hard to get out of my head, so it wouldn't be fair to go out with someone else, even if they did know the difference between Guatemala and guacamole.
I tried to cool the warm feeling in my belly with my wine, but the way Hudson was watching me didn't make it easy.
Did you meet Miss Guatemala on a dating site? No, I actually met her at a fundraiser. I'm not on any dating sites.
Really? Then how do you meet people?
The old-fashioned way? Yes, I pay for prostitutes.
Liar, I smiled. You've never had to pay for it in your life. I meant bars. Is that where you meet women?
Sometimes. I don't know. Wherever.
I rolled my eyes and waved my hand at his face. You have no trouble meeting people because you look like that.
Are you saying you like what you see?
You know you're hot. You have a mirror at home, don't you? I'm sure all you have to do is walk into a bar and snap your fingers and women run over. Hudson chuckled.
What am I, the Fonz?
Maybe. We both laughed. His smile faded as his eyes roamed my face.
You're really beautiful when you laugh.
I looked down, feeling a little shy.
Thank you.
Hudson was still watching me intently when the waitress came back. She seemed to have impeccable timing, for me, anyway, because when Hudson's eyes dropped to my lips, I'd been a hair away from suggesting something that wasn't on the dessert menu.
See anything you'd like to try? She said.
Hudson's eyes blazed, and the slightest twitch at the corner of his mouth confirmed we were on the same page.
I'll leave it up to the lady to decide what she wants.
I swallowed and focused on the menu.
They have creme brulee cheesecake. You want to share a piece?
Once again, his eyes flickered to my lips for a moment.
Whatever you're in the mood for.
This was definitely my last glass of wine. I nodded to the waitress. Hudson took my menu and lifted it with his for her to take back.
Thank you.
After she left, I sipped my wine, and Hudson and I talked some more. I couldn't remember the last time the conversation had flowed so easily when I'd gone out with someone. I'd also smiled the entire night, though of course this wasn't a date, and I kept forgetting that. By the time my glass was empty again, I'd entered the short hallway that led from tipsy to drunk, which was probably why I'd lost my filter.
How long is considered normal to go without sex?
Hudson's brows nearly reached his hairline.
Are you asking because you think you've surpassed whatever the acceptable limit is?
My smile was lopsided. Maybe.
He groaned. I said I wouldn't ask you out again, but I could offer some help taking care of that problem for you.
I laughed. Seriously, what's normal?
I have no damn idea.
Well, how long has it been for you?
I don't know. A few months now, I guess. How about you?
I cringed. More like a year.
Not a fan of hookups, I take it.
Does Theo James count?
The actor. You hooked up with him?
Well, no, not the actual actor. But I sort of named my vibrator after him.
Hudson groaned again. Don't tell me that shit.
What? Is that too personal? Surely it's not a shock that a single woman has one.
No, it's not that. But now I want to punch Theo James.
I laughed. Hudson shook his head.
I take it you named it that because that's who you envision.
I bit my lip. Theo had been my go-to fantasy for years, although lately my battery-operated boyfriend should have been renamed for the man whose eyes were currently growing darker as we spoke. I was grateful the waitress was quick and returned with dessert. At least my big mouth would be kept busy for a while. Sometime later, I looked around the restaurant and realized it was almost empty.
What time is it?
Hudson checked his watch.
Almost 11. I didn't realize it was that late. No wonder the waitress has checked on us 3 times since she brought dessert. She probably wants to get the hell out of here.
I think you're right. We left the restaurant, and Hudson drove me home. As usual, there was no parking in front of my building, so he parked a few doors down.
I'm going to walk you.
That's not necessary.
Yes, it is.
He got out and came around to my side of the car to open the door, then extended a hand. Thank you. He nodded. We were quiet as we made our way to my building. I debated whether I should invite him in for coffee or something, and I still hadn't decided as we entered the lobby and stood in front of the elevator. Of course, the rundown thing usually took 10 minutes, but tonight the doors slid open immediately after I pushed the button. Hudson put one hand on the edge to stop it from closing and held the other out for me to enter, though he didn't follow me in.
Congratulations again on today. You killed it.
I smiled. Thank you for everything, Hudson. Taking a chance on me, getting me the opportunity at the network, all the things you've done to help make everything come together, and even celebrating with me tonight. I don't think it's fully hit me yet that I'm going to be on the Home Shopping Channel showing the world signature scent. And truly, I owe it all to you. He shook his head.
I just cracked open a few doors. Everything else was all you. We stared at each other until the elevator tried to close. Hudson's hand stopped it, but he took that as his cue. Good night, Stella. Good night, Hudson. He stepped back, removing his hand. The longest 15 seconds ticked by while I stood in the car, waiting for the elevator doors to slide closed again. A sense of panic washed over me when they finally started to move, and at the last second, I stuck my hand between them, causing them to bounce open again. Hudson had turned to leave, but he looked back when he heard the elevator open. Would you want to come up for coffee or something? My heart pounded inside as I waited for him to speak. Coffee, he eventually said. I bit my lip and nodded. Hudson searched my face. You sure you want me to come up? When I took too long to debate my answer, he smiled sadly. That's what I thought. I let out a relieved exhale and shook my head. I'm sorry. Nothing to be sorry about. I tease you that I'm waiting for you to ask me out, but it's not really about you making the first move. It's about your head being clear on what you want. This isn't over. I'm just waiting for that little whisper in your head to get loud enough for you to listen. What whisper? The one that keeps telling you that despite your trust issues and concerns about our business relationship, you want me as much as I want you. I smiled half-heartedly, and Hudson took both of my hands in his. He lifted his chin to the empty space in the open car behind me. Now why don't you get back in the elevator before I lose the last shred of self-control I have and join you? He raised one of my hands to his lips and kissed the top. Go. I nodded and stepped back in. Pushing the button on the door panel, I said quietly, Thanks, Hudson. He winked as the doors began to slide closed. Enjoy, Theo. Chapter 17. The rest of the week flew by. Olivia and I worked day and night to get all of the marketing materials finalized, while Hudson focused on the orders and financing side of things. By Saturday morning, only a few of the rushed shipments had come in, so it was pretty daunting that the segment I'd taped was going to air at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and then orders could start pouring in. At least I hoped they poured in. Everything was in motion, but I wouldn't breathe a sigh of relief until the warehouse was full of all the products necessary to start shipping. To add to that stress, I was a nervous wreck about seeing myself on TV. The last couple of days, I'd started freaking out that Signature Scent might bomb. I knew the show flashed the quantity remaining like a ticker at the bottom of the television screen, and I'd had a recurring nightmare that throughout the segment I only sold 3 boxes, and there were 49,997 left after my hour was up. I'd really wanted to stay home and watch the segment today by myself while I alternated between chewing my nails and hiding my face under a cover. But Olivia had organized a viewing party at her apartment. She'd been so kind and supportive, it was impossible to say no. So now here I was, Ubering downtown with 2 dozen homemade cupcakes on my lap to watch the show with 12 people from the office. I'd obviously known the Rothschild family wasn't poor, since their business was loaning money to other businesses. But when we pulled up to the address Olivia had given me on Murray Street, my breath caught. Wow. She lived in one of the new fancy skyscrapers in Tribeca, a modern tower of curved glass that widened as it went up. The design was super sleek, the type of building featured in Architectural Digest or some other glossy magazine. Even the entrance was intimidating. It jutted out onto the street in an imposing way, as if to show people who had to move for whom. Stepping out of the Uber and looking up, I suddenly wished I hadn't baked the cupcakes I'd brought, and instead picked up something more professional-looking from one of the 12 overpriced cupcakeries that had popped up all over the city the last few years. I also really wished Fisher hadn't had to go out of town this weekend on business. I could use him by my side today. I sighed and tried my best not to feel inferior just because I couldn't even afford the enormous plantings outside the front door. Olivia's apartment was on the 53rd floor, but I had to check in at a desk in the lobby. The security guard gave me a key card to slide into the elevator panel rather than pushing a button.
As soon as I inserted it, the doors slid closed and the 53 button illuminated. I took a deep breath as the fast-moving car climbed its way up, but with each floor that passed, my nerves became more and more frayed. When the doors opened, I'd expected to have a few minutes to collect myself in the hallway, but instead, I stepped directly into Olivia's apartment. She greeted me with her usual bubbly enthusiasm and swamped me in a hug. "Heep! I'm so excited! I can't wait! You're the first one here!" "That makes one of us. I think I might throw up." Olivia giggled as if I were joking, but my stomach did feel pretty queasy at the moment. She ushered me from the entryway into the kitchen. However fancy I'd thought her apartment would be, based on the building from the outside, I'd underestimated. The kitchen was beautiful, complete with high-end appliances, sparkling granite, and two big islands. But the living room was the showstopper. "Wow, your view is just..." I shook my head. "It's incredible." Floor-to-ceiling windows lined the adjoining living room, showcasing sprawling views of the water and city. Olivia waved it off. "View shmoo, these cupcakes look delicious. Do you mind if I have a bite of one now?" I laughed. "Of course not. And I think you can have more than a bite. They're actually sugar-free. I found the recipe on a diabetes website. I ate one for breakfast this morning while I was baking them, and they're pretty damn good, if I say so myself." "You're an angel." She popped the lid off one of the plastic containers and chose a vanilla one with chocolate frosting. Peeling the paper off the bottom, she motioned to the giant windows I couldn't take my eyes off of. "I used to think that was everything I wanted. And then Hudson bought his brownstone in Brooklyn last year. He has no view, but he has a little backyard, and the building has so much character. It feels like he lives in a real home. This place..." She shook her head and licked a line of icing off the top of the cupcake. "I don't know. It just sort of feels like I'm staying at a luxury hotel or something. Charlie only stays with her dad a few days a week, and she already has friends who live on their block. I've lived here for 2 years, and I don't know a single person in the building. I sort of feel like I live in an ivory tower up here." She laughed. "Don't tell Hudson I said that. I wouldn't want to mess with our delicate dynamic. He thinks it's his job to teach me about life, and I pretend I don't need him to." I smiled. "Your secret is safe with me." A bell sounded overhead, and Olivia walked to an intercom system on the wall and pressed a button.
"I have a delivery from Cipriani," the voice said.
"Great, send them up, please, Dave." Just as she released the buzzer, a man I recognized, though I hadn't actually met him, walked out from a hallway on the other side of the living room. I'd been so busy worrying about seeing myself on TV and how Signature Scent would do that I hadn't stopped to consider that Olivia's husband would be home on a Saturday afternoon. Of course, I'd apologized to Olivia multiple times. For the most part, I didn't feel embarrassed when I spoke to her anymore. We'd somehow been able to put what I'd done behind us. But I'd never spoken to her husband, and I prayed it wouldn't be too awkward. Though the grin on his face as he strode toward the kitchen had me freaking out a little. Olivia waved between us. "Mason, this is the guest of honor, Stella. Stella, this is my husband, Mason. Mace, the food is here. Why don't you make Stella a drink while I deal with the delivery?" My face heated with renewed shame as he extended his hand.
"Nice to finally meet you."
"Hi." I cringed and shook my head. "I'm really sorry about your wedding. I apologize to your wife, but I should have sent you a note, too." Mason shook his head.
"Totally not necessary. The whole thing was pretty funny, especially the story you told. Plus, Liv never stops talking about you, so everything worked out for the best. I don't think I've ever seen her so excited about something to do with work. She's really invested in what you've created."
I let out a relieved breath and smiled. "She is. I'm very lucky. To be honest, I was really unsure about going into business with an investor, but she's given me so much more than financial backing. I feel like I have a partner who cares as much as I do." Mason nodded.
"She does."
He looked over my shoulder at her before lowering his voice.
"She went through a funk after her dad died last year.
The only thing that seemed to get her out of it was planning our wedding. So I was a little concerned about what would happen when it was over. But then you happened, and I feel like I've gotten my old Liv back lately. So while you might think you owe me an apology, it's really me who owes you a big thanks.
Wow. I shook my head. I don't know what to say. Actually, I do. You two were made for each other. You're both amazing.
He smiled and again glanced over my shoulder. I see her searching in her bag for money for a tip. She never carries a dollar, so I don't know why she's looking. In about 10 seconds, she's going to call my name so she can rummage through my wallet. So what can I get you to drink? A mixed drink, beer, wine?
I'd love a glass of wine. Merlot, if you have it.
You got it.
Olivia yelled from the kitchen. Mason? He grinned and pulled out his wallet.
I'll be back with your wine after I tip the delivery man. Make yourself at home.
I could have stood at the windows and looked at the view of the city all day, but the mantle over the fireplace caught my eye. There were half a dozen framed pictures on it, so I walked over to be nosy and take a look. The large silver frame in the center featured a photo from their wedding day. Olivia was bent over laughing as she stood next to a multi-tiered wedding cake, a piece of which she'd obviously just smashed in her husband's face. Mason's tongue was out as he tried to lick the cake from his face through a smile. I loved that they'd chosen that photo to frame, rather than some perfectly posed one. It really showed their happiness, and their smile grew contagious as I looked at it. To one side of the wedding photo was a picture of an older couple. They were standing in the rain wearing yellow rain slickers, but the smiles on their faces radiated sunshine. They had to be Olivia and Hudson's parents, because the man was basically an older version of Hudson. Next to that photo was a shot of Olivia and Mason at the beach, sporting backward baseball caps and drinking beer. Again, the smiles on their faces were positively contagious. I skimmed over a few more photos of the happy couple with various friends, and then my eyes landed on the last framed photo at the end. That one I picked up to take a closer look at the two kids, a young Olivia and Hudson. The little boy was probably about 9 or 10, but his gorgeous, bright blue eyes were unmistakably Hudson's. He also wore a smirk I'd become all too familiar with. He leaned forward, hovering over a birthday cake, about to blow out the candles. Olivia sat to his left, and his arm was extended, one of his hands covering her mouth. A deep voice over my shoulder startled me.
Some shit never changes.
Hudson. Jesus, you scared me. Didn't you learn your lesson about sneaking up on people? I didn't hear you come in.
Rode up with the food. By the way, be thankful she ordered and didn't try to cook today.
I'm sure she's not a bad cook.
Last Christmas, she made 2 trays of shrimp parmesan. We all got a big crunch when we bit in.
She overcooked the shrimp? He shook his head.
She followed a recipe that called for shelled shrimp. She thought shelled meant to leave the shell on.
I laughed. Oh! He nodded his chin toward the photo in my hand.
I still feel like doing that at least once a week.
Why were you covering her mouth?
Because she thought everyone's birthday cakes were for her and blew out the candles. My parents thought it was cute and let her do it. But that year, I'd made a wish I really wanted to come true, and I wasn't taking any chances.
I laughed. What was your wish?
I wanted a sheepdog.
Did you get one? He shook his head.
Nope.
Well, it's an adorable picture.
My mom had it framed on her nightstand. She said it summed up our relationship perfectly, and she wasn't wrong. My sister must have taken it when we cleaned out my parents' things.
Mason walked over and handed me a glass of wine. He passed Hudson a beer. Raising his own bottle, he tilted it to us.
Good luck today, you two.
Hudson clinked his beer, so I followed his lead. Thank you. The rest of the guests piled in shortly thereafter, and Hudson and I were pulled in opposite directions. I saw a couple of people on the marketing team who I knew had worked on things for us, but I hadn't gotten to spend much time with them. So I made sure to seek them out and say thank you for everything they'd done. A few times, while Hudson and I were both talking to different people, my eyes caught with his. His lip would twitch and his eyes sparkled. but neither of us made any attempt to talk again. A few minutes before 3 o'clock, Olivia pointed the remote at the TV above the fireplace and then used it to clink against her glass. All right, everyone. It's just about time. This is so much more exciting than a dumb Super Bowl party, isn't it? Who needs a refill before kickoff? I was really damn nervous, so I headed to the kitchen to take her up on the offer before I had to see my face on her giant TV. Mason was standing near the wine and lifted the Merlot when he saw me coming.
You look like I felt when they started playing Here Comes the Bride.
I opened and closed my hands. Did your fingertips go numb from nerves? Mason filled my glass to the brim and handed it back to me with a smile.
Head to toe numb. Pretty sure that's why the person who gives away the bride lifts the veil, and the best man holds the ring. The groom's hands are too shaky to do anything.
I sipped my wine. Well, I hope I can fake it as good as you did, because you looked cool as a cucumber. An arm hooked through mine. Come on, Olivia said. I want to sit next to you. I guzzled as much wine as I could as we settled into the couch together. Immediately after we sat, the music at the beginning of the show started, and the host, Robin, strolled out, waving to a live studio audience. It was pretty funny to watch, because I had been there when she'd done that walk, and the only people in the audience were Hudson and his friend Jack. Yet now the camera panned to a clapping crowd. Olivia laced her fingers with mine and squeezed. Here we go. She turned up the volume, and the noise in the room settled down. Robin did her usual introduction from the side of the stage, and then walked over to the counter where she always stood. Signature scent boxes and samples were piled all over. It felt completely surreal. Adrenaline rushed through my veins, leaving me a little lightheaded. For the next few minutes, Robin did her best Vanna White impression, lifting the boxes and waving her manicured hands around, which I now knew was to keep the viewer's eyes on the product rather than the host. When she began to introduce her guest co-host for the day, I held my breath. It was absolutely crazy to see myself on television, standing next to such a well-known personality. Robin Quinn was a pretty big celebrity. During the taping, the director had made me do that walk out onto the stage while waving almost a dozen times. As I watched, I smiled directly into the camera and waved like my personal fan club was in the audience. Oh my God, I look like such a ham. Everyone from the office started to hoot and howl, and I dropped my face into my hands, too embarrassed to watch. I'd heard actors say they don't watch their movies and thought that was insane, but now I understood why. I was aware of all the little nervous habits I had, as well as how heavy my New York accent was, and it left me unable to focus on anything but my flaws, all of which seemed highly amplified at the moment. I cringed and shook my head. God, this is so hard to watch. Are you kidding me? Olivia asked. You're a natural and doing incredible. The moment of truth came 10 minutes into the show. Robin pointed to the corner of the screen, and the price and telephone number flashed a few times. 30 seconds later, a countdown clock appeared too. All right, ladies, and gentlemen out there who want to impress their ladies, we're going to open up the lines now and let you start getting your orders in. We'll continue to talk about signature scent, but I think you all already know you want it. So here's what you've been waiting for, your countdown to the opening of our phones and online ordering. You know the drill. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, we're open! Within seconds, the countdown of the quantity remaining started to scroll. Slowly at first, but then it began to fly. I couldn't tell you what Robin or I talked about for the duration of the show. My eyes were glued to that countdown clock. When the thousands started to dwindle at a rapid pace, I thought I might hyperventilate, and I really needed a moment. Would you mind if I went downstairs to get some air? I'll just be a few minutes. Olivia looked concerned. Of course not, but are you okay? Yeah. It's just a bit overwhelming, and I need a minute. I won't be gone for long. Of course, but don't go downstairs. She pointed to the hallway her husband had come from earlier. Last door on the left leads to a guest bedroom, It has a private balcony and a bathroom, too. You don't mind? Of course not. Go. Take as long as you need. Thank you. The cool air outside felt incredible. I shut my eyes and took a few deep breaths. After only a minute or two, I felt calm enough to open them and enjoy the stunning view. From this height, the city seemed unusually quiet, which had a real tranquilizing effect on my mental state. So I felt a little better when I heard the sound of the door sliding open behind me, and I turned to find Hudson.
You okay?
He asked. I nodded. I just got a little overwhelmed watching that ticker, and my heart started to race.
Understandable.
He smiled and held something out to me.
Here.
I looked down and my forehead wrinkled.
A banana? I stole it from my sister's kitchen. She didn't have any oranges. I'm more creative with those.
I was confused until I realized he'd written on it. Your television debut is very appealing.
Hudson shrugged. Get it? Appealing. Go easy on me. I didn't have very long to come up with something and still follow you out here.
I laughed. It's very sweet. Thank you. I can see why Charlie likes your messages in her lunchbox so much. We stood next to each other, staring out at the city. The little fruit trick he used on his daughter had actually helped me relax. Or maybe it was just Hudson's presence. I sighed. This is all so surreal.
I would imagine it is.
He smiled. Yes, I was in the middle of a mental meltdown, but I still noticed how handsome Hudson looked. Not only was he dressed casually in a pair of jeans, he also had some stubble on his face that I really liked. He'd been quietly watching me look at him, so I felt compelled to say something. This is the first time I've seen you unshaven and in street clothes. He flashed one of his sexy signature half-smiles.
And?
I tilted my head. I like it.
Are you telling the truth, or just trying to get in your daily compliment quota from your happiness plan?
I laughed. No, I like it. The scruff on your jaw gives you a sinister look. He tilted his head.
Is that your type? Sinister looking. That's not exactly what I envisioned when you said your ex was a poet.
I laughed. Oh, Aiden is as clean-cut as they come. That's always been my type. I never went for the bad boys. I don't think I've ever dated anyone with a scar or a tattoo.
And you'd like to change that?
I shrugged, playing along and teasing.
Maybe.
Hudson's eyes sparkled.
That's good. Because I can help. I have both.
You do? He nodded.
Where are they? That's information I'll keep for another time.
I laughed. Top secret, huh? A light gust of wind pushed a lock of hair onto my face. Hudson used his finger to move it.
Feel better?
I took a deep breath and relaxed my shoulders. I do. Thank you. He tilted his head toward the door.
Why don't we go back in, then? As much as I'd rather be right here, I don't want you to miss anything.
I nodded. Back in the living room, I took my seat next to Olivia on the couch and looked up at the countdown clock to see how things were going. I blinked a few times reading the number. I hadn't been gone for more than 5 minutes, yet we were already almost completely sold out. I've been watching this show every day for the last week and a half, Olivia said. And they never sell out this fast. You're absolutely slaying it. I was worried you'd miss the part where Robin says her big tagline, going, going, and bye-bye. Sure enough, only minutes later, the side of the screen with the countdown started to flash. Uh-oh, the host said. We're about to sell out. Hurry up and get those orders in. She paused and shook her head. I better say it before it's too late. Going, going, she raised her hand and waved, and bye-bye. A big stamp appeared over the countdown clock on the screen. Sold out. Everyone in the room cheered. Olivia hugged me, and people took turns coming over to congratulate us. When I turned back to look at the TV, the next product was already being introduced. Relief washed over me that we'd done well, and I wouldn't have to see my face up on that giant TV anymore. Olivia and Mason popped champagne, and she handed out glasses. As she extended one to me, my eyes met Hudson's across the room. He silently raised his glass and smiled. Olivia looked between the two of us before hooking her arm around my neck. She turned us so our backs were facing Hudson and spoke with a low voice. He really likes you. Who? She rolled her eyes. The man who hasn't taken his eyes off of you since he walked in. Hudson, of course. I see the way he looks at you. He's excited about today, about signature scent. She pointed her finger at me. He's excited about you. I glanced over my shoulder at Hudson, and our eyes met once again. I couldn't deny that I'd felt like the center of his focus today. He looked between his sister and me, and his eyes narrowed. He absolutely knew we were talking about him. I sighed. He's a great guy. So, Olivia shrugged, why are you two still playing cat and mouse then? We're in business together. He's an investor in my company. And? I don't know. I shook my head. If it doesn't work out, it could be pretty messy. Olivia sipped her champagne. Life is messy. You know the only time it's not? When you're not living it. When you're just going through the motions. I know, but... She interrupted me. What happened to the woman who crashed my wedding and ran out laughing and drinking champagne? I laughed. God, that's a good example of being a mess. Maybe, she shrugged. But look where that mess led you. To a new business and a new best friend. And if you ask me who the new best friend is, I'm going to punch you. We're having a moment here. I chuckled. I get what you're saying, but I told you what happened with Aiden. A lot of our fights centered on being in business together. He would question how I spent money, and we would argue over the direction things should go. It was really the beginning of our problems. Olivia shook her head. I think you're wrong. Not to be crass, but the beginning of your problems was him sticking his dick in another woman. Not that it's a valid excuse, but he turned to someone else because we weren't getting along. No, he didn't. He turned to someone else because he's a piece of shit. That was just the most convenient excuse. I sighed. I guess. Did I tell you that Mason and I met at work? Really? At Rothschild Investments? She nodded. Hudson brought him on as director of IT. He was there for 3 years, and we were dating for two of them. We worked together on a few projects, and we didn't always see eye to eye. He owns his own IT firm, right? Is that why he left? No. There was nowhere for him to grow at Rothschild. We only have a few IT people, and he wanted to keep growing. But my point is, we worked together and fought. That didn't lead him to cheat on me. Olivia looked over at her husband and smirked. Occasionally it led to some hot, angry makeup sex on my desk, though. She held up her hands and her face scrunched. Oh, God. Don't do that with my brother because my office is so close. I once walked in on our parents, and I still haven't gotten over it. I laughed. Seriously, Stella, if you're not into Hudson, that's fine. But don't let what happened with your ex, or your fears of things getting messy, ruin what could be a good thing. Some of the best things in life are messy. Buns, sheets after good sex, lava cake, watermelon. Do I need to go on? I smiled. No, I get it. Hudson walked over with a bottle of champagne and topped off both our glasses. Noticing the label, I said, No wonder this is so delicious. It's the good stuff. I've run out of the bottles I stole from Olivia's wedding, so you might want to hide any you have left when I'm on my way out. Olivia laughed. I'm going to go help Mason put out more food. You two continue the celebration without me. She walked away but looked back over her shoulder so Hudson didn't see, and winked. I smiled. Your sister is pretty amazing. She's not too bad, Hudson agreed. But don't tell her I said that. He'd walked over to fill our glasses, but didn't have one of his own. Where's your champagne? I have plans. Hudson looked at his watch. I actually need to be going. I was coming over to say goodbye. Oh. Disappointment gripped me, along with maybe a tiny bit of jealousy. I forced a smile. Well, have fun. Hudson's eyes narrowed before he eventually grinned.
Are you jealous because I have a date?
No, I said, way too quickly. He tucked his hands into his pockets and flaunted a smug smile.